Well, the special hour we dedicated to Kevin Smith is rapidly becoming a somewhat less than special half an hour. No, yeah. Bring the man in!
Come on!
Sweet Jesus.
Morning,
yeah.
Kev.
Morning.
Hey, have
there.
A seat.
Sit down, dude.
Late as usual. How are you, gents?
You know, when I'm too shabby, how are you?
Not bad. And you would imagine I wouldn't be late. I'm right across the street.
You are. We were just having that conversation.
Advertise that, otherwise they'll be in the lobby with their posters and their things.
Really, I didn't say where across
things
the street.
For eBay.
I was literally sleeping on the street right across the street.
How was that for you?
It wasn't bad, you know.
Wasn't
people
good
are,
either.
People are polite. Well, it's a little chilly.
It is.
And I have roids, so.
Do you want some sting before to get on with things?
So you, are you guys required to play music?
Only if there, you want some.
You know what? Yes and no.
Really?
Yes and no. I mean,
let's
required
skip it. Why
play...
should we give that guy any more press?
You're quite right.
That was your...
Oh, that was my choice.
He got,
but,
he got us out of a bit of a hole there.
We were having Sting trauma.
We got through 3 years without Sting.
Right, right. This was that to be the first on the show?
I thought we wanted to get it out of the way.
And the last. Honest,
and the last as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kevin Smith, ladies and gentlemen, big shot film director,
nice
father.
Coach.
Half right, big. Don't know about the shot part. You guys didn't go to the Q&A the other night.
We couldn't. I went to the first one.
You went to the one at the one we did back in June, I remember.
Yeah. See.
And then he bought Vans.
Did you as well?
There,
yes.
There they are, yeah.
Yes.
You see, he suggests I buy shoes, I buy them. That's
I don't
the way
know
it
who's
works.
Trying to look more like who, me like you or you,
you
like
two
me?
Are the bit disturbing, it's fair to say.
Yes, yeah, right. I expect the two best looking guys in the room have finally met in some sort of odd confluence.
Let's hope there's some kissing.
I'm surprised one of us hasn't ceased to exist.
Just lucky you didn't bring Jen over because then it could have got really ugly.
You don't want to see her at this point in the morning.
Dude,
I just left her rolling around in the bed half asleep.
Oh, there's an image for me to conjure with.
She muttered something about have a good show, but she wasn't that interested.
But she didn't mean
waking
it.
Up. No, yeah. Not at all. It was not heartfelt.
Have you brought your lovely daughter over with you for this trip?
I did not. I left her behind because
to be educated, I assume.
Yeah, pretty much. She's still in school, and also, you know, she did a week here like last
in
June.
When you came over, yeah. For the...
So why, you know, another week would be too much. Her head would explode.
So what? This, and also to get out of the way, the plugging thing. The book. Tell us about this book.
There's a book coming out called Silent Bob Speaks.
Mm.
Clever title. I did not come up with it. And
I'm glad you're pleased.
Yeah. And it was. Basically, it's a compilation of a lot of the columns that I'd written for Arena Magazine over here, as well as some columns I'd written online. So it's essentially a book of essays about, you know, just ruminations on pop culture and personal life and other things. So if you are remotely interested in anything I've ever done, then the book is and you read. The book is up your alley.
Are there verbs, Kevin?
There are a few verbs in it. I mean, there are a lot of adjectives, but...
some pronouns.
We threw in some. The publisher sprung for a few of those as well.
So, the UK, I mean, obviously, the reason why I'm delighted to have you in, of course, the first film I ever saw at a film festival was Clerks.
Which film festival?
It was the London Film Festival, the first time you came over.
In 94?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because I wasn't here for that.
Were you not?
No, and this is what happened.
I met you at GLR when you were promoting Clerks. You had long hair then.
I did. Yes, I usually cut it after the movies are done, but then I was still rocking the mullet.
You were.
As you can see right now, I'm still rocking a mullet.
You've got the slight mullet. Me too.
I'm growing it back in because when we start shooting Clerks 2, I have to put extensions on, pretend long hair. Because I don't have my hair so thinning, I don't think I could grow it long.
I watched Clerks the other night, and I mean, I'm trying to work out that I think that you and I have actually probably put on the same amount of weight since Clerks.
You think so? Definitely. I put on at least 50 since then. 50 in 10 years. That's the 5 pounds every year? No, that'd
super
be wrong.
Super size us.
What is the math on that? 5 and 10. 50 pounds in 10 years. Would that be 5?
That's 5 pounds a year. Yeah.
5 pounds a year.
Yeah. Right. De Niro said it was a pound a year, wasn't it?
Right.
For every year over 30, was it?
Was that it? He's wrong. Well, or he
about so many things. Analyze that for the start.
Yeah. Right. He hasn't walked in my shoes. But I didn't get to make it over for that London Film Festival screening. I got to the airport in Newark, New Jersey, 45 minutes prior to the flight takeoff, and I thought, you know, I was plenty of time. This was way pre September 11th, back in 94, so you could show up 2 minutes before the door was closing. And they wouldn't let me on the airline. They wouldn't let me on the plane, even though it sat there on the runway for not only that next 45 minutes, but it sat there for another hour. And I was just like, let me out. I'm supposed to go to the London Film Festival. And
are you now
care less.
Are you now in the position where they'll make the damn thing work?
Probably not.
Well,
10 years, I mean, I may be heavier, but not a heavyweight, sir. They won't let me on it. They won't hold the plane for me. I don't have that kind of juice.
I just want to know exactly the kind of power you do have.
Not much. You know, as I try to stretch my wings every once in a while to see, I push at the edge of the envelope. But the envelope pushes way back and knocks me over. So I really don't have that much juice at all, whatsoever.
Hey, and I heard you mention there in passing. I only found out the other day through checking out the website kidsviewaskew.com. Go there now. Mm. Many of your
many Brits there.
Your loyal American drones
your people,
are listening
my
live.
Peeps, so
your
you
people,
will.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We've had emails from Alabama and all sorts and where else? Somewhere. Seattle and
Australia.
Yeah, lots and lots of the
universal dumb questions. It's good.
Yeah, you get them from
they follow a pattern.
It makes you feel like we're all related on one level or another, as the questions from England and America and France and Holland are all equally bad.
Mm. No, just dumb all over.
Yeah, exactly. No continent smarter than the next.
How was the Q&A the other night? How did
Q&A
it go?
Was wonderful. It was great. You guys were missed, of course.
Was it,
it was great.
Did you film this one?
This one we shot for the... remember there was a DVD called An Evening with Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
On it? We're doing part two called Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder. That title I did come up with.
That's, yay!
I'm proud of that title. Yeah.
That's much better than the book thing.
Yeah, totally.
Much better.
Silent Bob Speaks is a bit obvious, I thought. Mm-hmm. Originally, the title was Just Another Opinionated A-Hole. Can you say the other word here? I don't know what
you're... Well, Gene Simmons did, and we couldn't stop him all morning.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Well, I'll just go A-Hole and let Gene take the higher ground. Right. So they wanted to go with Silent Bob Speaks to tie it more in with, you know, Silent Bob or something like that. They're like, nobody would buy a book called
The
Just
Enthusiasm Falling Out of His Voice.
Pretty much.
Each word.
Pretty much. Yeah. You can feel me, like, shrinking. Great book, bad title.
I went to my computer, I just sent them some files. There was about 30 Word documents.
It was.
Some new intel.
They sent me a check and all.
I shouted at an intern for about 5 minutes. He ran off. He had a package. I assume that was the book.
I think that was a book and it came back with a bad title.
Hey, we've got interns now. We'll be continue yammering. I believe that's the term. Technical term, they call it.
This
is
a commercial time. Do we have to sell something?
It's the news.
No,
it's the BBC. BBC.
There's no commercials, but there's a lot of news instead.
We're like NPR. Right. So any minute now, there'll be like some kind of, you know.
And what is that then?
Raising money.
Digital radio. Digital TV. BBC Six Music.
Public Enemy, of course, welcome to Terror Run. We're going to be cutting into the music because Kevin...
because why not?
Yeah,
as Kevin said. Yeah, what he said.
The Public Enemy is kind of like, it's like looking at the sun. You get a sense of it and you look away. You can't hear the whole song. You just get an idea and then around your brain will melt because they just drop the bomb and drop science so heavily.
Kevin Smith, our guest, ladies and gentlemen, director of Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, many others, working on Clerks 2 at the moment.
Doing Clerks 2.
It's kind of a circular life deal there.
Do you retire after this? Paying the mortgage deal as well.
Ah.
No, not really. That movie like that you don't get rich off of. That's a real labor of love. Because Scott Mosier and my producer and Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson and to some degree Jason Mewes
are
the only ones within the, the filmmaking community that we work with, i.e. Miramax, who wanted to make the movie. Miramax was just like, why would you want to do that? Make something else. Make the Green Hornet. And I said, no, I want to go back and see what those characters would be up to 10 years later. So it took a while to convince them that it was a good idea, and finally Harvey Weinstein got on board. You would think it'd be a no-brainer, but... No.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have thought that, because as you point out in the Q&As and regularly in articles and so forth, you will deliver him a $30 million movie.
Yeah, I mean, I figure best-case scenario or worst-case scenario, based on... I'm sorry, I got gas from that Coca-Cola. That fine Coca-Cola.
Other sparkling beverages are available.
Based on the last almost three movies, we did like $30 million on Dogma, $30 million on Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and $25 million on Jersey Girl, which, you know, considering the circumstances under which that movie came out, was like $100 million.
Yeah.
If you do the Gilly kind of rollback, the Gilly inflation. So you have to assume that the Clerks 2, you know, they'd show up for it. At least $20 to $30 million worth of business, and based on the insanely low budget we're doing it at, it's profitable no matter what. Before you roll a frame of film, it becomes profitable.
Mm.
So that takes care of the business wonks, because, you know, you got to get them out of the way.
The
first.
Business wonks.
Wonks.
I'm liking that.
And me too. Yeah. I think I'll put that down.
And then you can concentrate on bringing the funny and the touching.
Mm.
But not at the touching and the non-Michael Jackson way.
What was the whole Jersey Girl experience like? Because you have been, as you say, on a bit of a roll. If you look at the, I mean, aside from the odd Mallrats blip, right. But again, Mallrats, the sales in terms of DVD and the acclamation
that's you got where that movie really
back.
Kind of
the, well, it just
got
came
discovered,
on,
yeah.
Even over here, people were throwing VHSs of it around. This is great.
Yeah,
know?
It was
big
a movie that really
hits.
Found its life on video. That's where I realized the power of home video, because that was a movie that had been written off theatrically and did no business, and critics didn't like it. But on home video, it found a legion of fans. And if you speak to, like, well, as I have spoken to people who follow our stuff, most of them, the majority, the lion's share, came in via that movie. Like, most people, they don't go like, hey, I first saw Chasing Amy and then went back and watched the rest of your catalog. Most of them were like, I saw Mallrats and dug that, and so then I found the other films. It's the gateway movie. Mm. It's the weed, you know, and then the rest of the movies are heroin.
I thought you were saying flower.
Yeah.
How innocent I am.
Exactly. Maybe it's not even so far as the weed. It could just be the sniffing glue of
it could
our
be the
movies.
Guy at the school gates.
It's the school gates. It's the playground.
Hey, speaking of the guy that hangs around the school gates, how's Muse?
Muse is very well. He's over here. I lost track of him. Yeah, he came and was at the gig last night.
Excellent.
Very last minute thing where I was just heading out the next day. And for the first time ever, he expressed interest in doing something where he's like, well, I would have liked to gone. And I was like, what? I mean, you never do anything. You never want to leave the country. And he's like, I know, but I've never been to England. And the strange thing is, he has been to England.
Ah.
He just doesn't remember it because, you know, he was high for many years.
There you go.
So we got him a ticket and he came over with us and he came out on stage for the Q&A and did that. So now, yesterday we did a bit for the DVD for the evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder DVD. That's like a little supplement to the British side, because we're doing two discs, and one is the Toronto Q&A we did, and the other is the British Q&A.
Oh, that's nice.
So the international edition.
Because the first disc of Q&As is a kind of greatest hits from various...
It basically five different colleges, and they just kind of jump between each. But yesterday we ran around London and did a bit with Muse, hitting on British girls to see if American pickup lines worked, and I think it might have worked, because he actually didn't come home last night.
I tell you where an excellent place is if you want to go looking for British ladies. Old Compton Street.
Old Compton, because the last part of our bit was him hitting on a guy. So so we hit Compton Street.
Did he strike gold, as they say?
He did. We found this dude named Tiger who was on Old Compton Street, who was just a real total queen and like fun to be with and play with, and played up in our bit. Like, the last part of our bit was Muse trying his lines out on a dude. So we found this dude who came over and was like, big fan and blah, blah, blah. And he said, hey, we want to be in the bit. And he was like, okay. And he just brought the funny, like, was instantly funny. And like, the last part of the bit is him walking away, cupping Muse's ass. Can you say that?
Yes.
You
have now. It's over.
Say arse.
As it were.
Arse.
What a twang.
I don't even know where to go. It's having you here.
Shall we have some of the listeners' questions?
This morning we were sent an array. This is an interesting one here from Sophie, who says, "Who do you think is more at peace with themselves, Kevin Smith or Silent Bob?"
I would probably say Silent Bob, just because he's a fictional character with no issues whatsoever. But
he's a sage.
Yeah, pretty much, right? But I'm very, very at peace with myself. I mean, every once in a while, I'm like, boy, I wish I could lose 20 pounds or 30 or 200 pounds, but
cut a leg off.
Totally, that's the way to go. I keep thinking about it every
day.
And that
is an amount that would notice.
people would point that out. Yeah. You've lost a limb.
And just think of the great stuff you get at Christmas: parrots,
peg legs,
frock coats, three cornered hats,
a collection of canes, all manner of crutches, designs of crutches. And you can play Tiny Tim every year.
Now,
in the
if
the,
you
the
were,
play.
would you rather be on the Strangelove electric wheelchair or on crutches?
Being lazy, I'd imagine I'd do the electric wheelchair. Totally. A hum surrounding me wherever I went.
With a bow to see a spikes coming out the side.
Oh,
that'd
yeah,
be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Good spin on
coming
it.
Coming through.
Kind of like Ben Hur, chariot.
Yeah, exactly.
I could take out legs. How does it feel? That kind of thing.
And this is Martin asks here, have you ever considered doing your own radio show?
It's one of those things that, like, it always seems like a good idea, but probably on a regular basis I wouldn't be good at it. Special skill.
You could do, like, a net show once a month or something on
something
the
like
website,
that would be kind of fun.
Is music a very important part of your life?
Yeah, and as much as,
You like Sting?
Yeah, I do like Sting, so apparently I'm gonna get bashed for that. but it is, and thank God for the iPod, because that has really kind of revolutionized the way, like, I listen to music on a regular basis, because I'm one of those people that just stopped listening to music at a certain point. Like, new music doesn't really appeal to me, only in drips and drabs. Not, you know, I'm not the guy that runs down to the record store on Tuesday to pick up every new release. My musical taste stops somewhere in the late 80s, early 90s.
I mean, the soundtracks are very hit for the films. I mean, whose responsibility is that?
It really comes down to me and Scott Mosier. And on stuff like Clerks and Mallrats, basically, or Jane, Silent Bob Strike Back, you make a deal with a music label, and they give you a bunch of music to choose from.
Yeah.
And so you find the stuff that you like best. On something like Jersey Girl, that was just the kind of a collection of a catalog songs that I've always liked and got to shoehorn into a movie.
Mm. You used a couple of Soul Asylum stuff, haven't you? Do you know Dave Pirner? Do you know Dave at all? Or is
Dave. Well, we met him doing the video for Can't Even Tell on Clerks, and then on Chasing Amy, he did the whole score.
Yeah, and he did We Flee at the End, didn't he? Which is one of my favorite Soul Asylum songs.
Yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. And he suggested it, because he'd done the score, and we were ending the movie with a scored piece, and he said, you know, we have this song called We Three that's actually kind of appropriate.
Mm. No, it's perfect. And I was like, I know this. Oh, it's Dave.
Clerks 2 ends with a Soul Asylum song that, God willing, we'll be able to afford.
Excellent.
And what I like about you is you have got this, is the head that you had on when you first made Clerks, you're the same guy.
It feels like it, very much.
No
so.
Hat.
No, but a lot less hair than when I made Clerks.
Do you miss the long hair? The back.
No, not the long hair, just I've got the yarmulke of baldness up top. And
Dude, that's comic.
Yes, it is, rather. And it's for years now, it's been slowly receding, and the circle, the crop circle becomes much, much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from the lack of hair, I feel like I have the same head on my shoulders, yeah. Very much so. I can just afford more things now.
Mm. I mean, more toys. In no way wishing to be uncharitable, but you were the first, I think, of the film geeks to start making films himself, a fan.
Yeah.
That kind of leaping
that's
out
what
from,
it feels like.
From behind your computer and going, no, screw it, I can do this.
Yeah, going like, I can do this kind of
did
thing.
Did you do film school in that whole?
I tried to do film school in Vancouver, British Columbia. I went to the Vancouver Film School for about 4 months and dropped out. But it wasn't a degree program, wasn't a real university. It was a tech program where you do 8 months total, and at the end they give you a piece of paper that said you completed the program. Which is
are you sure it was a school, Kevin?
Yeah, it might have been some dude's living room. I was never quite sure.
You just turn up and they go, is he small?
Now, you're like, going to film me today, Kevin.
Exactly.
I'm going to be coquettish today.
Where's the rest of the class? And he's like, we have an excellent teaching ratio of 1-to-1.
That is good, though.
Yeah, so I felt like I got a good education.
Today, Kevin, soft focus. That's what we're going to specialise in.
I'm good. I'll play a little bit of Tom Waits to give Kevin a chance to actually, I believe, he needs to burp.
Yeah.
The one and only time you will find us cutting into Tom Waits records is when we've got Kevin Smith in his house. That's, of course, Jersey Girl, and apropos of Jersey Girl.
How far deep into the Tom Waits catalogue do you go? Do you do Black Rider as well?
Oh, yeah. We went all the way. He played one UK show a couple of months ago. We went. And, like, it's weird, because, like, you go and see Waits, and he does his own UK show, and it's like there's Jaggers and Depps and,
really?
And Tim Burton. And his missus, and just, I've never seen such a slebby crowd.
Did you call Helena Bonham Carter his missus? Then?
His missus, yeah.
Was Tim Burton dressed in black?
I think he was.
Actually, he was wearing a pastel suit. What was he called?
He looked like a lollipop.
He did.
His hair stuck on it.
He's got the Willy Wonka look on.
Oh, and Henley has emailed in to say, can you do your English accent? You were doing your English accent at the Q&A?
I was. That's kind of an in-the-zone thing when you're listening to other Brits speak, you just kind of lapse in. And also, there was a guy who stood up at the Q&A and announced that he had a girlfriend very subtly, a pretty girlfriend who was sitting down beside him, by saying, my girlfriend wants me to ask this question. And, you know, he pointed to her, And, you know, it was clearly it was a dude going, essentially saying, the read between the lines was,
I'm getting
none of these boys have ladies, and I do, and I want you to see this pretty lady, you know, short of putting a neon sign above her head.
Oh, could you sing Step in Time now?
It's a real Dick Van Dyke kind of British accent,
yeah,
I have.
Please.
Yeah, it's really
don't
not
blind
that good.
You, Mary.
Totally. If I go
strike
into
a light, Mary Poppins.
Exactly. If I walk into a pub with this accent, I'm sure I'll get punched in the face.
You won't be walking back out.
Exactly.
Let alone the coat. Anyway, so what is it? Prussian cavalry?
I've bought it.
Have you got all of them that were ever made? Because I've only
just
ever seen that.
Just one, and I bought it 15 years ago at the store in the States that used to be called
Bob's Shack of Weird Coats.
You would think so. It was called Oak Tree, and it was an urban, urban clothing for the white man. Is what it was. Essentially, it was where white boys could go to shop without having to go into the city and feel safe.
We've got some kids oats, boys!
Pretty much, very much. But it was chavs before there were chavs. So,
oh, he knows chavs.
Oh, good. Yeah. He's across the culture.
I've done my homework. But, I bought the one. It was on sale in the summertime. And I bought it. It was normally like $500, and I bought it for $10.
Sweet
going
deal.
Like, this will come in useful one day.
Oh, and, man, I can't wait for it to go on
it
eBay.
It did come in useful.
It is one of those things that you know you're going to see on a big old dummy in Planet Hollywood one day. You've got that look about it.
I think Planet Hollywood's but a memory at this point.
Is it?
It's
really?
Almost gone.
There's one here still, isn't there?
I think it's the people
we go by there every day. Just by there.
Right. That's the problem,
that's
isn't it?
The franchise are clinging onto it, like, you know.
Very much so. When they brought in the NSYNC guys as investors in Britney Spears, you knew it was kind of finished at that point.
I was reading about
NSYNC.
NSYNC where it became investors, I believe. All of a sudden, every Planet Hollywood billboard I saw had NSYNC and Britney Spears on it. I was like, well, have they ever been in a movie?
But she opened...
She did Crossroads, I think, you're fine, Kevin.
That's right.
Very good film.
Very good.
She's a marvellous turn. Sorry. I believe she played the bluesman in Crossroads.
Yes, she did. She sold her soul, but we knew that.
Yeah, that was already there. No, she had that restaurant Nyla, didn't she? And I was reading about it the other day, and it sort of said, and then, you know, there were the court cases and the stabbings, and I thought, you don't want that with a restaurant, really, do you?
No.
You want nice, yummy entrees.
She had stabbings in a restaurant.
Oh, there.
Maybe she meant starters. I'm sorry.
Can I get the buffalo wings? No, you get this. Right through the heart.
Right through your coat.
Oh, I should have tipped 20%. So we are in the company of Mr. Kevin Smith, whose book Silent Bob Speaks hits the bookshops.
Not his title.
Not my title. It comes out in May. It's Titan. Is it Titan?
On Titan Books.
Yes.
Titan Books.
Look at the
good
nodding.
People at Titan Books.
They do. They gave me a load of their swag the other day, and they did 2000 AD, which is a seminal UK comic. Speaking of comics, I mean, a lot of people asking if you...
Speaking of comics, I was next door to Forbidden Planet, because I was at Arena yesterday.
Yeah.
And I still didn't get to walk 10 feet into Forbidden Planet, so I'll be doing that over the next
like
3 days.
Like you could get 10 feet into Forbidden Planet once they see you're in there.
No,
it's the leader! He won't tell us what to do!
I wish it was like that. I wish they called me the leader, and I wish they were.
They have been
for
on
guys.
Emails this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, the leader's coming in.
With how that army, that's all you need. You just go. That's how you start an army, sir. You go to a beer hall, and you know.
Sage advice, kids, from the leader.
Tell us who we must kill, kid.
Exactly. Go in amongst
the
dusty loners and the great unwashed, and just be like, why should all the pretty boys have girlfriends? What about you?
Oh, God, he's doing it again.
Oh, no.
You could have a lady.
Make him stop.
You could have a what, Sully?
A lady.
Do you guys have a bad American accent that you guys do over here?
Well, I should do.
Because every American has a bad British accent.
I'll do Joyzy. I'll do Joyzy for him.
Okay.
Forget about it.
I'll do California.
That's convincing.
Hey, dude.
That's very convincing.
Forget about it.
You guys basically do a show.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Do a show with two.
How you doing?
Two Brits covering both coasts. You could be the dude from the East Coast. You could be the dude from West Coast.
Or could we have like a Biggie and Tupac?
Totally. You could have an East Coast West kind of feud.
I will pop one in your ass.
I think it's a cap, Phil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I believe it's a cap.
There's no one. It is a cap.
Thank
Bust a cap, I believe.
Bust a cap.
And Green Hornet, what did happen to that?
Green Hornet, at one point I was attached to write and direct it, then I pulled back to just write it because I realized that I don't have enough talent to pull off the Green Hornet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to this point
did
where...
Did you see Catwoman?
Yeah, apparently. Based on that, I guess I could have done it. But I got to this point where I was like, I don't know if I want to be in charge of a $50 to $70 million movie because it stops being your movie at that point. Hmm. It becomes a collective effort where you have to kind of take a lot of studio notes and make a version of the movie that's profitable. And I can't guarantee that because my interest in directing a movie is kind of making it mine and keeping it kind of personal. But that's not how you make one of those mainstream flicks.
Does it come down? Does it literally come to that? Is it strictly in fiscal terms? Once you get beyond a certain amount, you lose control.
Absolutely. We skirted very close to that line when we were making Jersey Girl because ultimately the movie wound up costing $35 million because Ben got 10 and Jennifer got $4 million. So, you know, what could have been a $20 million, $21 million movie wound up being 35. And the closer you get to 40, the more the studio can actually kind of lean on you. So when we got into trouble post Gigli, when Gigli came out, suddenly we started getting, you know, the calls from Harvey Weinstein going like, well, we got to do something. We got to trim back on Jennifer in the movie and stuff like that. So that's if the movie had been $5 million to make, he could have made that call, and I would have been like, you're out of your mind. It's a $5 million budget. At $35 million, they want to make their money back. And when Gigli did $6 million, it was looking bleak for us. The future looked real dark because we were following the $6 million grocer, the $70 million movie that made $6
million. What a superhero he was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you just imagine, it was us presenting a movie going, remember that movie you hated 6 months ago with the two people you can't stand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here they are again, in a new movie. So by rights,
in Jersey.
In Jersey. The least appealing aspect of the film. So you'd imagine, by rights, we would have done less than them. The fact that we kind of crawled to 25 was a minor miracle. But they once you get close to that $40 million budget line, they
step on you.
Very much so. They don't step, lean.
You present, and obviously, because he has helped you so much through your career, a marvelous image of Harvey Weinstein, the boss of Miramax. Have you seen the bad side of him?
Not really. I mean, I've never seen the bully that people refer to.
The Suge Knight, as we call him.
What is it?
The Suge Knight.
I've not seen that. But I've seen, the passion. Like, let's call it passion, where the dude will, express his opinion in such a way where you almost buy into it. Like, he's so convincing about your flick, which you know more about than he does, that you're almost like, yeah, all right, he must know what he's talking about. So, the passion can be very in your face as well. But that's kind of what you like. In the moment, of course, you don't like it. In the moment, you're like, well, back down, dude, because I know what's best for my film. But in retrospect, you always look at it and go, like, how many movies would be improved, or how would we even be making as many bad movies as the industry makes if there were people who were that passionate about it all the time? Because most people are just pushing numbers around, right? Then here's a dude who actually cares about what's being made, and as well as making a profit. Like, it's not completely altruistic. It's not a guy going, let's do it art for art's sake. He knows there's money to be made, but at the same time, he's like, you can make money by making quality films.
Very quick. A question here. Someone came in through the back door via my mobile phone.
Right.
Crime author Ian Rankin asks, will we see any more Clerks comics?
Clerks comics, I would imagine, I guess that when we get close to putting out Clerks 2, I guess I should probably go back to press with a new Clerks comic. But at that point, it feels kind of redundant. Like, we're offering a whole new Clerks movie, so why do a comic?
Is Secret Stash doing good business?
Secret
the comic
Stash
shop?
Is doing well. Now we have two on both, one on each side of the country back home. There's one that has been since 97 in Red Bank, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then we just opened one in September in Westwood in California.
Oh.
And, we've gone bi-coastal, which worries me a bit because the last dude who did that was Spike Lee.
Ah.
He had the Spike's Joint store. First it was in Brooklyn, the hometown. Then he moved one out to Los Angeles on Melrose, and about a few years later, both disappeared.
Ah.
So franchising, as it were, made me a little nervous, but I live in California now. So it makes more sense, like, that I could go to that store more frequently than I could go to the Red Bank one.
I'm coming
so
to
far,
LA.
So good.
I'm coming to LA for the first time in August.
When are you coming?
August.
If you come over March 28th, we're doing the Vulgarthon. We're doing
the Vulgarthon
festival.
It's on the website.
We are tragically running out of time because we have to wrap.
What are you coming
up
over for in August?
Just the vacation.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, then look me
up. Red Sox are playing in LA. You give me a number, mate. I'll fucking
right on. Oh, whoa. and that was you, and not me. And that was you, sir.
I didn't.
You would expect Captain F-Bomb to be making those faux pas.
Yes, that's what we thought. We were saying, oh, Captain F-Bomb's coming in.
Give him the thing. Oh, have I got them? You have to read these out for us.
Thank you.
Read everything.
What have we learned?
What have we learned today? Can I do it in my fake British?
Yes, you can.
What have we learnt today, 9th March 2005? That we met John Hurt once. We're in no hurry to do so again. He was in here.
No, we went to awards.
We went to an awards ceremony.
And he was not,
Well, you know, keep going.
Go on.
That Matt Groening favours the 2H pencil when sketching. When did you meet him?
He's been on the show.
He's been on.
And you learned that today?
Just get on with it.
My bad.
It's not about semantics.
You guys are terrible producers. That you never saw Robert Plant and John Pertwee in the same room together. Yeah. That a life spent living in caves has made Osama bin Laden look a very wise and 47.
Wizened.
Really? Would that be it?
Yeah.
Good point. That no one wants to lick Camilla Parker Bowles' stamp.
That's right.
That sounds relatively dirty.
That's good. Yeah.
And finally, that Mallrats is like the dealer who hangs out at school gates peddling drugs to children.
He's very good.
He's very, very good.
I'm not sure what that was.
I look forward to seeing Kevin Smith very soon in a Merchant Ivory production, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Gideon Coe just around the corner. Ray LaMontagne's session. Thanks very much. Oh, is he off? Oh, for the love of God.
He's not well.
Is he not well?
He's not well.
Well, get better, right. Kevin Smith, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me in. Last time I was on the phone, this time I'm in.
Bob Speaks is in the bookshops in May. Kevin Smith, Clerks 2, when?
Clerks 2, hopefully the beginning of 2006.
Okay, keep it locked. Six Music Kids, you know it makes sense, Kevin. Thanks, mate.
Cheers.
Thanks.
BBC. Six. Music.